Malachim Beis, Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. So Yoshio HaNavi has come to the great Mizbeach of Yerovam, destroyed it, defiled it, exhumed the graves of the Kohanei Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and burned their bones on this altar, exactly as prophesied back in Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Gimel. And now he sees a marker, and it's a grave marker, of whom? Of the great Navi Ido from Yehuda, who had come and prophesied this entire thing, who had been told by God not to eat anything or drink anything from the service of Avodah Zarah, but he was misled by a false prophet who had then led him astray to the point where Ido was killed by a lion, but his body was preserved miraculously by a donkey and a lion standing by it. The prophet then took Ido and buried him properly, and told his sons to make a large distinctive tziyun, a large marker, over his grave, because he knew the prophecy was true and was hoping that his own bones would be saved from disgrace when this happened. So the grave was a very notable place. And some say, miraculously, the grave had one side where the grass grew green and fresh, and on the other side it was withered and died. On one side, some say hadassim and fragrant herbs grew, but on the other side, thorns and nettles. So Yoshiyahu sees this weird situation with the gravesite and asked about it. And the people explained that the Navi Yehuda Ido, where he was buried, was the beautiful vegetation. But on the side of the false prophet who had misled him were thorns and nettles and withered dead grass. And Yoshiyahu was very impressed. And so, Vayomer Hanichu Lo. And so Yoshiyahu said, leave him be. Ish al yona atzmosav. Let no man move his bones. Vayimaltu atzmosav eis atzmos hanavi asher bo mishomron. And so the bones of Ido saved the bones of the prophet who had come from Samaria, from Shomron, the false prophet who had done the misleading. So just as the false Navi had hoped, ultimately his bones were in fact saved by Ido. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it clear visually when anybody passed by the grave where the true Navi was and where the false Navi was a bit of a busha for him, one would figure as well. But Yoshiyahu is not done. Yud Tes V'gam es kol batei habamos asher ba'ari Shomron. So too, all of the houses of the altars, all of those shrines, the boutiques that had been put up by the altars for Avodah Zarah, Asher Ba'arei Shomron, which were in the cities of Samaria, Asher Asu Malchei Yisrael, Lahachis, that the kingdoms of Yisrael had made Lahachis, as we say, to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hisir Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu had them removed. Vayas Lahem Kechol HaMasam Asher Asa B'Beis El. And he did all the same things to them that he had done in Beis El. Defiled them, ruined them, destroyed them, because even the remaining members of the former Malchus Yisrael persisted in the idolatry of their ancestors in Malchus Yisrael. And that is a very, very sad statement. Malchus Yisrael had been an illegitimate Malchus from the get-go. Now, Yerovam ben Nevat had done everything he could to separate it from Beis David, from Jewish tradition, and from the roads of what Judaism was all about. And even after that kingdom was destroyed because of its sins, even after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this long list in Perek Yud Zayin and Yud Ches as to why Malchus Yisrael was destroyed, still the Jewish people who live there are persisting in their Avodah Zarah, refusing to change their ways, going to shrines that had been made Lahachis. What is sadder than going to a shrine of an Avodah Zarah that is in complete disrepair, that is unkempt, and left to molder, going to the Acropolis to worship Zeus? How can anybody say that that would make sense in today's day and age? After you see what's become of these places, after they've been abandoned by their own followers, and yet those Jewish people who sin and persist in their sin will not be dissuaded from worshiping a lost cause. A lost cause that Hashem warned us back in the Tochacha, that Yoshiyahu miraculously rediscovered. A Tochacha that was intact. They still don't change their ways. And it takes Yoshiyahu to come and destroy them. And just get rid of them. And go on a swath of destruction on behalf of God, like we've never seen anywhere in Malachim. Pasuk Chaf. By Yizbach es kol kohane habamos asher sham al hamizbechos. And he slaughtered all the priests of these shrines that were there upon the altars. Vayisrof es atzmos adam aleihem. And he burned human bones upon them. Vayashav Yerushalayim, and he returned to Jerusalem. He wanted no personal gain. He wanted to ask nothing of the people. You don't see that he gave them a Musar Shmuz. You don't see that he hollered at them because of what they had done. He just burned a bunch of men's bones. Now, if you were just reading this without knowing all the context and the background and the hundreds of years of damage that had been done by Yerovam and all of his successors, you would say, this is a madman. What's he doing? Blowing everything up, destroying everything, burning bones. But Yoshiyahu is doing something that no king before him in the history of Klal Yisrael had ever had the wherewithal and the commitment and the ability to enact. No king had ever done something like this, to make just a humongous Kiddush Hashem for the sake of God, for a defunct kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, that had fallen decades earlier. Malchus Yisrael fell in the days of Chizkiah, which means by this point, this is 60, 75 years ago. And here is Yoshiyahu doing all of this for the sake of God. He is a legend among Klal Yisrael. He is the greatest last king that we had. The fact that he is very much forgotten in some ways by mainstream Yiddishkeit today is a scandal to me. That such a person who did so much for no aggrandizement, all for the sake of Kiddush Hashem, that such a person should be forgotten, that we don't name... I had a conflict about this with my own wife because I wanted to name one of my kids Yoshiyahu, at least as a middle name. He's been a hero of mine since I first laid his Haftorah on the second day of Pesach, maybe 25, 30 years ago. And, you know, it turned out the child was a girl, so it became academic anyway. But the fact that there aren't more Yoshiyahus in different families among Yidden everywhere we go is to me just this side of criminal. You know, we should have Yoshiyahus everywhere. And I understand his ending is very tragic, and he's from Nach. Who reads Nach, honestly? But you know, we have Azarias. Azariah was the king from Beis David with leprosy. How do we have Azarias, but not Yoshiyahus, not Yoshiyahs? So this is my personal plea. Any listeners who take it personally and name a child, grandchild, or great-grandchild, Yoshiyahu, will have my everlasting gratitude. But he's a hero. He just does things that nobody else has ever done. All L'shem Shamayim. And his only flaw was that he thought too well of us, instead of that he underestimated us. Or maybe I should say he overestimated us. When so many Jewish leaders have worried that the people won't follow, he assumed that we would, like him, be completely committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So please excuse me for going a minute and a half over because of my great commitment to Yoshiyahu, but I had to make my plea for more Yoshiyahu Ben listener to be out there.